located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today as we talk about this very, very important subject, especially here at Christmas time. Why do we celebrate Christmas? How do we celebrate Christmas? Third question, is Jesus God come into flesh? Or is he just a good man, a good example, a good person, one to emulate, one to follow, or is he God come into flesh? That's the question that I'd love to hear from you about. How do you celebrate Christmas? Why do you celebrate Christmas? Who is Jesus Christ? That telephone is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I have Dr. Davis with me today. We're talking about this very important seasonal subject, this issue, as we celebrate Christmas. Why do we celebrate it? Who is Jesus? I believe Bob's on the line. Bob, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor. Believe it or not, most Jews in the world celebrate Christmas. I'm Jewish. I grew up in New York, and I'd say millions of Jews celebrate Christmas because they're secular. They don't know the difference. And like I said, I always celebrated Christmas. And one Christmas, I got a basketball, and that was the best gift I ever got.
But you have seen the light. The scales have been lifted. You've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, right?
Yes, I read the late great Planet Earth, how Lindsay just passed away recently, and that book was responsible for me getting saved.
Amen. Hal Lindsay, when he went to be with the Lord, what was he, 95, I think he was? Was it 95, am I thinking correctly? That was about, what, 90 days ago?
I don't think it was that long ago. I think it was less than that, but yeah, he was in his 90s. You know, just for FYI, I talked to him one time, and he said he didn't make any money on that book. He kind of got ripped off by somebody, and I was surprised to hear that.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. There are a lot of people that are doing that. I have a book that was published in 1984. The title of it is Could Jesus Sin? It's dealing with the impeccability of Christ, the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. That book was ripped off by a Christian bookseller organization in Australia. They've got some 15 to 18 campuses or bookstores in all of Australia. And I noticed that they were one of the booksellers was advertising that as being a very rare book, hard to find. So I traced it down through several telephone calls and talked with the people. I said, well, where do you get the book? And they said, from the publisher. And I said, well, I happen to be the author and the publisher. You don't buy it from me. Where are you getting the book? They hung the telephone up. And of course, people will do that. People do that stealing intellectual property on the basis we're all doing it for Jesus, so it doesn't make any difference. So I understand if he was ripped off on that. There are a number of things like that take place that the average person would not recognize or realize is taking place across America with Christian books and Christian authors and how their material is being ripped off and republished across the nation. But Bob, I'm thankful that you called, thankful to hear about what God has done in your life, and I'm thankful that we can celebrate Christmas this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I'm sure you're familiar with this, but my mind goes to it. And Romans chapter 1, verse 25 and 20, I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, "And all of Israel shall be saved." And when that takes place, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7, 8, 9, when all of Israel shall be saved, is when about three-quarters of all of the Jewish people on the face of the globe have already been destroyed at the hands of the Antichrist. The minuscule remnant that's left will recognize, according to Zechariah 12, recognize Yeshua Messiah, whom we have slain, will receive him as Savior, and enter into the millennial reign along with the church age saints. So all of Israel shall be saved. Right now, most are blinded because the scale's still on the eyes, but there are few that's getting saved, and I'm thankful for it. But ultimately, all Jews shall be saved. That all is inclusive only of that minuscule number that will be left at that time. So it gives us reason to rejoice in the realization and the recognition that God's word is valued. God's word comes about. God said it. That settles it. It'll happen just like God's word says it will. But Bob, thank you so much. May you and your family have a Merry Christmas.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. You too.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about who Jesus Christ is, some argue that he is not God. Dr. Davis, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35, that's a long group of scripture verses, but it's one unit of thought. Read the first two or three of those verses, chapter 1, verse 26, 7, 28, and then just drop down to verse 34 and 35 for us.
Amen. Here's what he said. "And in the sixth month," that's verse 26, "the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. For go down to 31. He said, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. 32. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Drop down to 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God."
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, let me do a little exegetical explanation of that for just one moment to set the stage, that to verify, validate, that the Scripture says that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. He is the only begotten of God, John 3:16. So may I say to you, when Mary was told that she was going to have a child, she knew that she had not had a sexual relationship with a man. But the angel, Angel Gabriel, the announcing angel, there are three archangels, one of them was Gabriel. Gabriel is the announcing angel, and Gabriel announced to Mary that she's going to have a son. His name's going to be called Jesus. He's going to have a kingdom that rules forever and forever, and that is absolutely factual. But how did that come about that Mary, without the benefit of man, was able to have a child? In the 35th verse, Dr. Davis, basically, if I can do this, take the liberty of paraphrasing that verse for a moment. It is the Holy Spirit of God that brooded over the womb of Mary, impregnated Mary with what would be called, theologically speaking, the seed of God that produced the Son of God. Mary provided the shroud, the shell, the morphe, the outward mannequin, the look, the physicality, but God provided the divinity. So therefore, when Jesus Christ was born, he was born of man, but he was full God, 100% God and 100% man. So there are a lot of folks out there today that's listening that maybe you don't hear that. Maybe you've not heard those terms. Just as that preacher that I spoke of a moment ago that hailed for years out of Texas, preaching that Jesus Christ was not divinity, that Jesus Christ laid aside his divinity when he was birthed into this world and did not become fully God again until he ascended back into heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, if that's the case, Dr. Davis, I want to just by rote memory say, if during the life of Jesus on this earth, if he was not God, how did he walk on water? How did he make the lame to walk?
Amen.
How did he make the deaf to hear? How did he raise the dead to life? How did his blood on Calvary's cross suffice to cover your sins and for mine? None of that would have been possible if Jesus Christ had not been God.
Amen.
It is
Amen.
Only God that can carry those things out.
Amen.
In fact, as I have made mention of on a number of occasions, only Jesus can forgive sins. Jesus is the only one that will judge the living and the dead, according to 2 Timothy 4:1. Thomas called Jesus God, John 20:28. The Apostle Paul called Jesus God and Savior, Titus 2:13. Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem. We'll talk about that in a moment. Jesus preexisted from eternity past to eternity present, to eternity future. So when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're celebrating God come into flesh. Dr. Davis, if you would, many of our listeners may be familiar with it, but to refresh our listeners' thoughts, John chapter 1, the first four verses in particular, sets the stage about Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is. Read those first four verses and then tell us what they're saying to us.
Well, I have to use this a lot, and I can pretty much recite it verbatim.
Yes.
But I prefer to read from the
Amen.
Pages.
Amen.
Because my words don't have power. The word of God has all the power.
Amen.
And this is the reason why they're stumbling and falling out the young blood. Scripture is never wrong.
That's right. Always
he say
right.
They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof.
That's right.
So you don't have any power to stand.
That's right.
So that's why it's important to believe this word. But here's the word of God. It said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's the first five verses.
Right, right. Tell us what that's saying.
Now, it's telling us in the beginning, okay, we can go all the way back to the foundation of the world.
Right.
And the scripture. Now, we're talking about New Testament. We say that we're the New Testament church, but yet when we start reading things like this, we deny the power.
That's right.
So, now, what you're saying, you don't believe that in the beginning, God had the power to call the things that be not as though they were. Now, here, again, it's taking us back to the beginning, the very foundation of the world. It says, was the word, in the beginning was the word, and that word is capital.
Mm-hmm.
So that lets me know it's a proper noun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's describing something. It usually describes a person, place, or thing, according
right.
to English.
That's right.
So, okay, if we're right, if we're in that area, in this particular case, Scripture is pointing towards the personhood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the capital W represents him as being the living Word of God who was there in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Some refer to that as the Logos of God. And by the way, I'll jump in and let you finish.
Amen.
The word in the beginning, the word there is the archaia. Back and back and back and back and back some more. In the beginning.
Amen.
was God. And
before
that is
time
Jesus
ever
Christ.
Was.
That's right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
A lot of times we think about the birth of Jesus, and Christians so often, nothing wrong with a little Bethlehem scene, nothing wrong with a manger scene, but Jesus is no longer the babe in the manger in Bethlehem.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was before Bethlehem.
Amen.
In fact, that's a message that I'll be preaching just in the next few days, is Jesus before Bethlehem. Jesus was before Bethlehem. It's talking about the preexistence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ did not just come when he came into the world via the virgin's womb in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ has always been Jesus Christ. He is God come into flesh.
Amen.
He is God incarnate. In fact, Dr. Davis, if you don't mind, turn to Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, Matthew chapter 1, and drop down to about verse 18 and read through about verse 23.
Okay. It says, that's wrong. That's the wrong one. That's the reason why you got to keep your eyes on what you're supposed to.
That's right.
Amen. 18, verse 18.
Yeah.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise.
Mm-hmm.
When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together.
Mm-hmm.
See, scripture always explains itself.
Right, absolutely.
She was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Right. So Jesus Christ came into the world for one purpose, to save his people from sin. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus Christ came into the world seeking to save that which is lost.
Amen.
So as we celebrate Christmas, I want our listeners in particular to understand that we need to keep our focus on who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
He's not just a babe in Bethlehem. He's not just a good man. He's not just a good character to follow. He's not just a good teacher. He is God coming to flesh. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating God incarnate, God coming to flesh.
Amen.
I'm always amazed, Dr. Davis, at the detractors, those that will misrepresent the truth of the Word of God, those that will challenge and say that somehow, some way, that Jesus Christ is not fully God. I've always said, and as I teach Christology in the college and the university, it is my favorite subject, favorite doctrine to teach, is biblical Christology. And as I teach Christology, I focus on the fact, and if you would find that those verses for us, Philippians 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it gives a good explanation of Jesus' deity and his coming into this world. Jesus did not diminish his deity as God. Jesus Christ is God. In fact, as I like to teach and say very clearly, in John chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus came into the world to exegete, to reveal, to show man God. The purpose of Jesus was to reveal God to man and to relate God, a man back to God. Read those verses, Philippians 2, 5 through 11.
Okay, says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant.
Stop there for just a moment. Took upon himself.
Amen.
That's an addition, not a subtraction.
Amen.
So we're looking at the text, ladies and gentlemen, of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. God came into flesh. We call it the incarnation of God. God came into flesh. When he came into flesh, he took upon himself the form. That word form is the word morphe. We get our word mannequin. He took upon himself the fleshly outward look of man That is an addition to his divinity. He was divine. He was deity. He was divinity as God. And God took upon himself the form of man. He did not look at his position in heaven with God the Father as something to be grappled for or to grasp. That's written, said, thought it not robbery. That literally means thought it was not something to grasp or to hold on to, but was willing to come into this world and to die on Calvary's cross. And as a result of that, read the balance to that text.
Dr. Amen. Davis. So then he said, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about this celebration of Christmas, it is our prayer that your celebration of Christmas this Christmas season, as we celebrate the holy day, not just a holiday, as we celebrate this holy day of Christmas, that will be in the recognition that we're looking at this holy day as a time to reflect back when Jesus Christ came into this world, when God came into this world and took upon himself the form of man, the outward show, the shell, the shine, indication of humanity, and became flesh, that he might die on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine.
Well, one thought I got from that, Dr. Youngblood, right there, is that another scripture says he took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh.
That's right. Absolutely. That's mirroring that text you just read.
We take upon ourselves our natural clothes every day.
That's right.
Your clothes might dress you up. Mm-hmm. But they don't hurt your flesh.
That's right.
It doesn't change anything.
Doesn't change the flesh. Good illustration.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So that's what happened with Christ. Mm-hmm. He took upon that sinful flesh. It didn't do anything to the divine part.
Didn't diminish the divinity.
The divinity was still there.
Absolutely.
So this is the reason why, again, a careful analysis of Scripture will always set us in the right place.
That's right.
But going back to what you said, and how you teach it in school all the time. Context. I've heard that so many times. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's important. It's very important.
That's right. Context. If it's text out of context, it's a pretext and should never be used for a text.
Amen. Amen.
If as you read a text, if common sense makes sense, seek no other sense lest you make nonsense.
That's Amen.
That's a good statement too.
That's right.
Ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, it's our joy and delight. But listen. Let's wrap up, Dr. Davis, with some thoughts. There are those that say that Jesus was not God. I've touched on that all the way around the edges now. But I'm looking at my outline and lecturing on Christology. And under the fact statement, he is very God. Jesus Christ is very God. The Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh, both Old and the New Testament, represent Jesus as God. In fact, there, I believe some 300 scriptures in the Old Testament talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that have been fulfilled in toto.
Amen.
And the,
Amen.
The possibility of that taking place as a percentage is almost off the charts with the unreal aspect of it, unless it were a divine aspect, a God thing. But his ascriptions, for example, he is called God. Multitude of scriptures, John chapter 1:18, etc. Jesus Christ, in the scripture, he is called God. He is called the Son of God, Matthew 8:29 and following. He is called the Lord. He is called the Holy One. He is called the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ in his attributes. Then listen, this should wrap up any concern, any question that anyone has in relationship to who Jesus Christ is. And again, The nexus to my statement is the fact that we celebrate Christmas, and in the celebration of Christmas, let's take our eyes off the turkey. Let's take our eyes off Bethlehem. Let's take our eyes off the food, the family, the football, the frolic, and the fellowship. Let's place our focus on why we're celebrating Christmas.
Amen.
We're celebrating Christmas because Jesus Christ came into this world as a human being, all the attributes of humanity, and yet 100% God, and he did so that he might die on the cross. Listen, God took upon human flesh, and in that human flesh is blood, and it's God's blood, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that flowed on Mount Calvary, and it's God's blood that is efficacious, that is sufficient for your sins and for mine. And if Jesus Christ's birth did not bring about God in the flesh, then we have no hope, we have no help, there's no reason for a celebration in what is called Christmas.
Amen.
Jesus is omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing. Jesus is omnipresent. That is, he's ever-present. By the way, some say that when Jesus came, he diminished, laid aside some of his deity. And as some say, he laid aside all of his deity. That is not the case at all. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, and as you perfectly illustrated a moment ago, you can put your outward clothes on, but it does not change your flesh.
Amen.
You're still a human being. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the attributes that's found, that's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scripture, very, very clear. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. And that omni means all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. He is eternal. In fact, I like that text, Dr. Davis, if you would take a moment and let's read it to our listeners today. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And Micah 5:2 is one of the best Old Testament prophetic texts about who Jesus is and how long he will be, and his preexistence is vivified in Micah 5:2 very, very clearly. So Jesus did not just begin at Bethlehem. Jesus began from the beginning.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That creation took place by the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18. So read that in Micah 5:2, and we'll talk about that a moment as we close.
Amen. So he says here, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting."
So how long is everlasting? Everlasting. Dr. Davis, I've got in my hand a song, I Call Him Lord. It was written by Dottie Rambo many, many years ago. And I'm going to just read the words. No, nobody has to worry about me singing it. The song goes like this. "Master, Redeemer, Savior of the world, Wonderful, Counselor, Bright Morning Star, Lily of the Valley, Provider and Friend, He was yesterday, He'll be tomorrow, beginning and end." The chorus reads this way. "But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord."
Amen.
And
Amen.
That's the focus that I want us to understand as we celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 2 of that hymn, that song says, "Jehovah, Messiah, mighty God and King, bread of life, lasting words of love that I sing. Light in darkness, door to heaven, my home in the sky, the fountain of living water, I that never shall run dry. But the angel called him Jesus, but I call him Lord."
Amen.
Ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, Merry Christmas to you and your family. God bless you, and thank you for joining today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face
Amen.
The issues.
Merry Christmas.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
A plumb line is a standard, one that is straight and true, but the only